What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Them folks got bigger problems than trying to troll us right now.
I know it, and man, salute to the ones that's still going on. Like, boy, you was a hardcore soldier, brother, because hey, I just don't have the energy, man. Not this going on. This is too much. At some point, you gotta just bow out. Like, you know what, man? I'm gonna just come back a little later on, man. We got to regroup. We're gonna regroup real quick. Yeah. I have never seen nothing like this. Every little piece of talent them jokers got is gone, except like Deuce Robinson.
Which, what are you talking about, Florida State?
Yeah.
Bro, I was on my way home. I'm like, how they got to sit here? It's like the second year in a row. I'm like, you got to replace half your roster, bro.
Again. And most of the people leaving was the best of what they had, too. So it's like, you ain't just losing the guy that was the backups. You losing your starters. Yeah, they're in trouble. They're in trouble, man.
Man, Mike is cooked. That boy.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Like, it's clear that it's over. And I think the players know it. They don't believe no more. They pretty much know he's done it. He basically just got, like, next year, and then he'll be out of there. So they just like, well, I might as well get ahead of the curve. This ship is clearly sinking. Like, it's a wrap. And they hired that guy off of us. I forget his name, Christian something, I think. Basically like a GM. You know, to try to get, you know, get this roster put together, put something together. But
it's they had, man.
Yeah, yeah. But I think they hired bro. And he's staying on no matter who the next coach is.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the strategy. Just go ahead and get him in place. Let him start trying to build his roster up. But I don't think nobody thinks that Mike is going to coach. He probably won't even finish next year. But beyond next year, I just don't see it. Because they're going to stink again. They're probably going to win even less games than this year. And they went 5-7. So I can easily see them doing 4-8.
How you go and get a big-time coach, though, and then tell that big-time – I'm guessing that's what they try to do, get a big-time coach. And then you tell him, yeah, but don't touch the GM when you say he's probably going to be there next year.
Could they ain't hire no big-time coach.
Yeah, true.
Who they going to hire?
Yeah.
It really, if you just look at the market, right, like, I doubt the options are going to be great next year.
They want Glenn Schumann from Georgia.
Georgia.
What Glenn Schumann
is? He the defensive coordinator.
DC, okay. And that's not big-time hire. It's a big step for him.
It's a first time hire. I mean, I think it'd be a good deal, but he got too much to clean up. Like, I don't know if he ready for that. Like, I think what they need like a spark plug, like how we got with Mark Richt. They need something like that.
You know what they need to do? They need to hire Jimbo and tell Jimbo, hey, I'm gonna tell you, you just said something like what we did with Mark Richt, right? We knew Mark Richt, he was kind of like on his last little, you know what I'm saying, legs, whatever case may be. We know Jimbo loves Florida State. We know that if you give him at least three years, he'll at least get them back on the right. He's going to recruit. We know he's going to recruit.
He left his last two programs in shambles, though. Florida State was in shambles. That's too much of a risk.
But the problem was they wasn't trying to give him the resources and stuff at Florida State that he wanted. That's why he left.
But he got it at A&M.
He got A&M. Now, yes, I can say, yes, he didn't do that fare so well at A&M. But I think with Florida State, I think it'll be different because I think if he would have got those resources at Florida State when he was still at Florida State, I think they'd be in a way better position that they're in now with Mike Norvell, because Mike Norvell can't recruit.
He can't recruit. Truth be told, once that dude hit Jimbo White, that was it. Jimbo was washed. He wasn't thinking about coaching.
He ain't been the same fit.
He like, man, I got niggas in college hitting my wife. Like,
that's crazy.
That's you a grown. It's not that he a grown man, nigga. You was an old man. And you got niggas in college, your wife. That ain't gonna just go easy. So
yeah, that ain't no shit you can really get over, cause you know that young dude probably laid that pipe to him, man. Like maybe
thinking about that every night day. You go to sleep.
Every day you go back up.
My wife, this nigga.
I couldn't even walk around that motherfucker no more. I ain't gonna lie. I start tweaking, man.
And old boy went to Florida, didn't he?
Yeah, he went to Florida. That's why he went to Texas A&M. And you could see the difference in his coaching strategy from when he was at Florida State and then when he got to Texas A&M. He had way more resources at Texas A&M, but he just ain't care. He was like, man, I'm gonna just put the best players out on the field and they win it. Like, I ain't.
Hey, man.
We can agree to disagree. I just think if you need somebody that's a bridge coach that's gonna want to do the job and that can probably fix that mess or at least or whatever, then hire Jimbo. Just come to an agreement.
You think he's gonna be like Mac Brown?
Like a Mac Brown.
Bridge, but not only that, you don't gotta pay him a lot.
Yeah, but you're not gonna have to give him a whole lot of money, and that's a job that he actually wants. He wants that job.
Hey, again, I hope that what they do. I just think it will go off. I think it will take another step back. I hope that's what they do. It could go the way y'all described. I can see it possibly. But then, you know, Mac eventually wore out his welcome too. But Mac did some good things for North Carolina for sure.
He didn't have to go fix North Carolina though. Like, North Carolina is North Carolina football. It is what it is.
Yeah, and the standard ain't as high, but he pulled off some shit. I give him that. He took him up a notch.
Yeah, because he walked into some bullshit because who was their coach? Fedora was their coach before?
Yeah. You know, I used to be like, well, I'd rather all three of us be good, but not that we good. I'm comfortable with them other two garbage programs staying down there. I don't give a shit. I hope they never get good again. I'll be honest
with you. My only thing with that is, I'm like, damn, that hurts the conference some, but I hate Florida State.
Yeah, we're getting out of this conference too. So,
it ain't hurt the conference this year. We in the playoffs. I don't care nothing about the conference. Everybody else screaming ACC. I ain't screaming ACC.
Shit, no.
You see, I tweeted, ACC trying to take credit for Miami. Nah, nigga, don't take no credit. Y'all ain't do nothing to help us get here. Don't say y'all Miami representing. No, Miami not representing AC. Miami representing Miami.
Yeah.
we're getting the hell out of the conference. Trash-ass conference. They just don't got no respect on the name, man. Like,
at all, bro.
Nigga, win your conference and you don't even get in the playoffs. Like,
they not even fighting for us. Like, they ain't fight Florida State. I get it. Ain't much fight you could do for Duke. But
yeah.
Come on, man. Like, Miami ain't make it. 2 years in a row, Miami ain't make it. Like, okay, dude, but what y'all trying to do, ACC? Like, that's dumb. Like, Miami was one of the 12 best teams, and you telling me y'all ain't going to go toe-for-toe with the college football playoffs about Miami getting in it?
If they were serious, yeah, they would have.
We got to be fair. ACC, when it was at the end, they did, but we should have played in that game.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. Yeah, they should have, because the Big Ten did that shit before.
They should have fixed the tiebreaker. They should have saw the problem coming a mile away.
So again, that goes to speak to how trash they are. Because you should not let your conference champion even have a chance to be a team in 7-5. Like, you can't have that. That's a horrible look. So you know what I mean? I give them this. A lot of the problems was, these teams didn't have the foresight to understand what these big ass conferences was going to do and how it would end up kind of, you know, getting become method because you got these conferences way too big. But yeah, they did a terrible job managing that. But anyways, we could be them other people, and thank the Lord we ain't. And you know, I don't see the trajectory tweets quite as much as it used to. I would appreciate if you guys would put those out there a little bit more now. Let's talk about the trajectory of the three programs at any time. Hell, you know, I talk to y'all guys, man. Y'all pull up sometime, man. Florida State and Florida fan, y'all pull up sometime, man. I know y'all be, you know, tapping in a little bit. So pull on up, man. We'll talk about the trajectory of these three programs. I see one program that's, you know, preparing itself to compete for national titles. And I see two other programs that just really just trying to get back to winning.
losing their best players in a poor.
Man, they might as well
all the best players.
Them two programs might as well start inviting FAMU and Bethune-Cookman band just for entertainment, because that's all they got. They ain't got nothing.
They need to join forces, put one team together.
Maybe they.
You don't even have to change the name. Just be Florida State.
Maybe they can win a couple more games, but they'll take them from what? What Florida State won? 5 this year? And the Gators won 4?
Yeah.
That's crazy, bro. Yeah. That's crazy hearing it, bro.
I love it.
Hey,
you win 4 games, and then you go get another G5 coach, bro. That's insane.
Hey, this shit ain't crazy. This is what they deserve. 2 years ago, they was talking out their ass, bro. Like, I don't feel bad for them.
They're talking out their ass, this year. Generational lie. Come on.
Man, hey, breaking news.
I'm gonna tell you
breaking news. You all got some breaking news. Hold on.
Clemson just fired Garrett Riley.
Stop. Oh, I thought you about to say Dabo.
Oh, right. Yeah, right?
But you remember when they hired him? Remember when they hired him? Everybody was like, oh man, you know, he's gonna be innovative, he's gonna do this. Best hire they could have made, this and this, and now you're out of there after 2 years.
Yeah, Clemson got to redo that whole thing. They got to redo the structure, how they recruit, and all that.
We're talking about national college football landscape in general. I'll leave all this stuff on there, but honestly, I think Clemson got a clean house too. Yeah. I think Dabo and his ways are kind of dried up. And
no, it did dry up. That's not sustainable.
Yeah, and I think they need some fresh blood. Again, I hope they don't. They keep him. I think he's a little too late. His attitude is a little too old school. You know, Nick decided to lead the game because of that type of thing.
I think
that's really the best thing for him to do too.
Yeah,
he's a good coach. I feel like he could fix it if he just does what he needs to do.
But he's not a good coach, though, man. In all honesty.
2025 at this point, man, you gotta adjust to the players and to the landscape of the players. Right. Like, everybody's still trying to say, oh, college football is supposed to be a certain way. No, it's not. It's 2025. You're telling me kids from 2025 are the same from kids from 1980? No, they different. You know what I'm saying? You have to cater to the kids, and regardless of how much you might not want it, guess what? If you don't, you're not going to get him.
And that's why I kind of half jokingly say he's not a good coach, because of his lack of ability to change. Because, like, you got to think, Dabo not a specialist at nothing. You're not an offensive specialist, defensive specialist. You're more of a CEO. And, like, if you can't see from a bird's eye view, hey, this thing changing up a lot, and if we're really truly going to adapt and what Clemson is, yeah, I think that kind of guy, especially as just a CEO role, I think you got to be at the cutting edge of the changes and be way ahead of the curve. Like, oh, okay, I see what's going on. And winning is the bottom line. And Clemson decided, Dabo decided, nah, we ain't going to do it that way, because he don't like it. He just don't like the kids getting paid. It's just bothersome to him. So, we ain't doing no transfer portal. Ain't the spirit of the game. Okay, the game is changing, and it's passing you by. So to me, I think if he was truly a good coach, he would have been way more adaptable to all of this stuff that was coming. Because it's coming whether you want it or not. He just thought that he could fight way.
So, Larry, you think his players are underpaid? Like, for instance, TJ Moore, or what's the D tackle? Who's supposed to be going? Peter Woods.
Bro, honestly, I don't know, but I guess.
They're not underpaid. But what goes on at Clemson is they get their contracts are like almost like NFL contract. They got 4 years. He ain't no coming back to the table talking about asking for more money.
They're
not doing that. You know what I'm saying? So every other school doing it like year by year, which is smart. You know what I'm saying? I'm not finna pay a guy for 4 years and he don't play for us for 4 years. That don't make no sense. You know what I'm saying? But that will feel like I would rather pay a guy 4 years and I would rather for him to stay here and develop him.
Right.
So that's cool.
I get that too.
Cool. Yeah, that's a smart move. But I mean, listen, if I could be Texas Tech this year, guess what? I want to be Texas Tech this year. I ain't trying to be Clemson. You know what I'm saying? Listen, it's always a now thing now. It ain't no, well, let's see what happens next year.
Yeah, because next year Texas Tech might suck. I doubt it, because they seem like they're just going to dump a shit ton of money into it.
Texas Tech about to spend $100 million on
roster. Man, that, When you put that in the group, I was like, 100 man.
Now, bro, I was watching.
I knew you exaggerated, but still, part of me took it serious. I was watching a video.
But I'm just saying, they listen.
They gonna spin
the way they GM talk. He said, "Listen, boy, you want to get paid? Come play for Texas A&M." But I'm like,
Booster's filthy rich over there, bro.
It's that one dude they used to play for him that really spearheaded all this. He was
Cody Campbell.
That's his name, yeah, O lineman. And he just was like, nah, Texas Tech Red Raiders football ain't gonna be no joke. That's all it really takes, though.
Yeah, so they trying to do their basketball team too. So I'm like, oh, them boys.
Man, they played that softball player $1 million. Softball.
Oh, yeah.
The pitcher, black girl, yeah.
The like pitcher.
Yeah, they ain't fucking off, man. I get to them. You know, and I think they'll continue to invest. Don't sleep on BYU either. They spending money. They have a basketball team.
Yeah.
You know, it's programmed investment. And that's the other thing made Florida State hilarious is that they actually they spend more on NIL than we do.
Bro, that's crazy, though.
But that's the thing. It's not dollar signs. It's how you spend your money.
How you allocate it. How you pass it out. Yeah.
Back in the day, only 8 teams had the money. You know, you would
be right.
Now, bad investment, you sunk, bro.
Bad investment after bad investment. That's why they tried to get the IGM or took IGM.
And that's why I was telling them, even when I was telling them when they hired Nebraska defensive coordinator and stuff like that, and they was getting players from Nebraska, I was like, man, y'all getting players from losing teams. Y'all not getting players who played on winning teams. That don't make sense. Like,
and projects.
If that player's really good, okay, but y'all getting normal players from losing teams.
Because they was geeked up about that DN from Nebraska. They got James
Williams. Yeah, James Williams.
And he's back in the portal.
He's back in the portal. Like, he's trying.
Forget about defense. You're getting your last two quarterbacks that got demoted at Clemson in your own conference and then got demoted at Boston College.
Yeah.
How is that the decision?
Yeah. How is that the call? Like a demoted quarterback? That's an insane call to me. I didn't understand that dude.
Yeah, the Tommy thing was, they didn't like him at Boston College. Well, it was a reason. It was a specific reason why they didn't like him. Like, he didn't get hurt like Carson Beck. Beck. He didn't get hurt like that, but they benched him because he was literally sorry. At two schools, not at one school, at two schools.
Coaches like winning, bro. And if you could do it, that's why you have a hard time. You know, every once in a while, if you got a great program, right, say like, you know, prime Alabama. Yeah, a coach can have a certain arrogance and bench a good player because he got so many good players, right? Boston College ain't got that luxury. They ain't got that luxury, man. I got to play him. Even though I can't stand his ass, I got to put him out there because I got to try to win these games. And ultimately – you know, and I get Bill O'Brien, you know, his job pretty safe. He at BC, so, you know, they ain't going to be warm for a while. They ain't really known for their football prowess. But even still, I guarantee you, he'd rather win. But anyway, well, it's 26 degrees, man. We done been running our mouth about the national scene, you know, primarily, you know, getting into some of the, we'll call them rivals still. Although I don't feel like they can rival us in many things right now. Maybe basketball. Basketball. Yeah, basketball, they got it. Right now. Get Jay Lucas a little time. Boy's off to a decent little start, man. All things considered. You know, him having to try to reconstruct the program. So, right now they got us in basketball, but nothing else. It's your boy, Lane. Got the guys here with me, man. We're going to get into this Ohio State game coming up. Cotton Bowl. Big Cotton Bowl vibes. Something that this whole clip, man, like this whole crew, man, we ain't experienced nothing like this. Many moons, man. This is the real, and this is, you know, people mess with me or trying to, you know, they thought I was just trying to excuse Miami for losing bowl games. These are the real bowl games. These other bowl games around the country, that they just don't carry weight no more. So we in an actual real deal bowl game. We just won the first one. And now we're on our way to win the second one. But anyways, running them out, introduce everybody, man. We got my main man, Turnpike Measy, in the building.
What he do? Please say the Turnpike.
Always geared up in Miami, too, y'all. Right? Like, Measy probably the most consistent Miami gear win out of all of us. When we do the show, I got plenty of gear, but I just have what I have. Meezy always got one in
my hand. I be trying to have a little something, man. I got a flag. I got a hard ass. I got to send y'all a picture. I got my dad went to the Louisville Miami game. Hard ass reversible jacket, bro. I've been rocking the fuck out that bitch up there. I'm gonna send y'all.
And you in the place for it. You in cold weather. So
yeah, because I gotta wear it. You know what I'm saying? It's cold as hell up here. But but yeah, man. Enough about that. We got the real Field General X in the building. What'd he do?
Yo, 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 what's good? We back. We got I guess one day when the show come out before we line up against the team in Columbus. Boy, it's a lot of talking going on, man. It's a lot of talking, a lot of disrespect. But you know, disrespect get handled the proper way once the game started.
God bless him.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, can't run anymore. Can't talk about what you did last year and who you got on your team this year. You know, hey, it's you know what we do is when we was little, you know, the coach say, man, listen, man, they put on the pads and the pads the same way that you put them on. Line it up, baby. Let's go.
No doubt. Along with us, man, we got my main man, D-Rob, in the building. D-Rob, say what's up. Wait, and then you're reporting for the A, ain't you?
Yes, sir. What's going on, everybody, man? You know, wonderful, wonderful day for 26 degrees.
They flew my dog D Rob to Atlanta to cook for him, man. Chef Rob.
Is that what it is?
That boy getting flown around the country, man, to cook him, man. Hey, man, I'm telling you, y'all better get the checks. You better get them bags, man.
Hey, man. You know.
They got you, Chef Rob?
Not as much. You know, they took care of everything. So I was straight, you know. That's we good.
He was cooking though a little bit though.
He knows it. He love that shit though. That's what's up. That's me on that grill. I don't fell in love with the grill now. So and, you know, I pop my shit, but I'll be ready. I'll be ready to, you know, see them faces light up when they sink their teeth in. Like, yeah, that's the one, ain't it? No doubt it, Maul kicking it with us too in the background. He over there, daddy duty and cooking. Chef Maul. He wasn't gonna be out chef no more. He's tired of pulling up on the show. And he ain't never cooking nothing, so he come pull up, got the kids, he got the cuisine going on.
Got that curry chicken and white rice tonight.
Let's get it. Something quick, easy, and good for the soul, man. That's what's up. But obviously, Cotton Bowl coming up, New Year's Eve, what a way to start the new year. Ohio State, you know, all the narratives that's surrounding this game. It's been, like I said, a lot of talk. I've seen, you know, on Twitter some of the talk, and I find that like that's a very like superficial fan base. I don't think a lot of them really know ball like that. I don't think y'all know what y'all talking about, man. I'll just be honest with you. I just feel like y'all like the colors, you know. It just the knowledge kind of seems like it's at a fourth, fifth grade level. But, you know, that's no disrespect to the actual team, Ohio State. They are a really good team.
Defending national champs. Can't take nothing from them. They good offensively. They good defensively.
Yep.
And they've been good a long time, too.
So. They've been good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They've been good.
Right. Yeah, their program has clout around it. You got to give them that. That's undoubtedly true. But new day, you know. Yeah, new day, man. They got to line it up.
Yeah, we've been good. We've been good too. We good this year too. So ain't no just thinking you finna go out there and whoop on the old Miami or and that's the thing, cause I've seen some say, oh yeah, it's not gonna be a close game. Miami offense ain't gonna score. And I'm like, okay, man, I don't know if they watch Miami all year or like some of them who still doing the Notre Dame thing, oh well, y'all lost to SMU and Louisville. Okay, right. Man, I keep saying we lost to two teams who were 8-4, who both had pretty good offensive teams. Okay, we lost. That don't mean nothing now. We're in the playoffs. We just beat one of the best SEC teams, held them to 3 points the entire game. They saying, well, hey, I seen one say, well, if y'all complained about the win, Texas A&M were complaining about the win. I say, man, you think they wasn't?
They ain't getting no points either. That's what, like, I saw that. I'm like, they didn't score. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, the win sucked for everybody, and we managed to pull off the win. So the win was definitely a factor. And the thing is you have people that, you know, don't got nothing to do with it. Like Josh Faye came out and said himself, like, hey, I'll be honest with you, I was there. The win was definitely a factor. And I think people are underplaying Miami's offense a little bit. I think, you know, and that was from somebody, you know, who ain't necessarily got a dog in the fight. I know him and Mario got a relationship, but I think he keep it real about us too in general in his mind.
He do.
What do y'all think, man? The early line right now is 9.5.
I took the plus 9.5. Ohio State, if they do win, they ain't beat us by no 10 points. So
I took the 9.5 also on the ticket.
Yeah, I can't see it. I think. And I'm a little shocked the line is that big.
Why y'all think the line's like that? Because Josh Pate said, I seen that same thing you saw earlier. Mm-hmm. He was like, this is an inflated line. He was like, honestly, most people, like, I've been listening to all the analysts talking about the game. 90%, 85, 90% of them say, like, they couldn't understand the line.
Yeah.
They was like, if we play anybody else, this is a 2.5 or less point spread game. So.
It's because. You got to think about it, man. They defending national champs. Regardless if they lost to Indiana, they got it. That's just what they're going to do. But the crazy part is people are betting on the Ohio State minus 9.5. People are betting on it.
Well, y'all know how Vegas work.
Right, but see, that kind of lends to your point, right? They betting on it because people don't really watch ball. And they're just going on old narratives. Because there's people who thinking, how did Miami sneak in? Just thinking people that just leaning on the losses. Oh, they can't be that good. They're not looking at the wins. They're not looking at the good, positive wins. They're just looking at the losses. And again, they're disrespecting
those teams. Scored 10 points the last game.
Right, yeah, all of these things, right? So it's like, well, there's no way they could do anything with Ohio State. Meanwhile, Ohio State lost their last game. I saw Shannon Dawson speak on that, and I was like, absolutely. What are we talking about? They couldn't score neither. And they lost their last game.
And it was in a dome.
Wasn't they in a dome?
In a dome.
They were in Indiana. Yeah.
But there's no conversation about how they just aren't able to score. You know,
I think another thing too is they're looking at the rosters. A lot of people proclaiming that Ohio State got 4 or 5 first rounders this year. We're looking at Miami, and they only talk about Bain and CeCe. They don't give Mezzador no credit. They don't give the defense no credit. They don't give anybody else on the offensive line any credit. They're not giving Carson Beck any credit, which is crazy because people saying Carson Beck is a trash trap. I'm like, so a quarterback that won 35-plus games is trash in college football? Like,
hey, remind me about that. I got to ask y'all something at the end of the show real quick about that Carson Beck thing. Go ahead.
Like, I think Carson Beck is like, 36-5 or something like that? If that's a trash quarterback, then give me that trash quarterback every time.
And Carson Beck even said today, he was like, man, like, I don't mean it like to be, like, extra or whatever, but a game like this, like, it's like another game. Like, I've been doing this. Like, I've had plenty of games like this. This is not no Carson Beck eyes ain't big. This is playoff football. He was at Georgia, like. It's big games. This is what it is.
Yeah, Carson Beck got big eyes, but that's just, you know, genetics.
He got big eyes.
That's just what it is. He ain't scared of the moment, though.
And what I think is you got, like, national media, people who haven't watched Miami, people that have been telling you, people from in Columbus that have been negative recruiting Miami, that we're not this, this, and this. Now, if they say we're equal, it kind of goes against their narrative. So now they got to, just like Urban Meyer, I don't see them scoring 10 points. Like, okay, like, and all that means is, but reality is Ohio State got to cash the check because everybody's writing the check for these players to cash, but these players know it's about to be a game.
Yeah,
the players are talking a little different.
And to this point, right, and this is the thing, you know, back to what X was saying as well, like, as far as underrating, they're criminally underrating our defense. We're giving up, like, what, 12, 13 points a game?
Yeah, 13.
Ohio State got the
against better offense, against better ranked offenses, too.
Ohio State's schedule.
We played, Miami played 6 teams in the top 30 offensively. Ohio State only played 2 teams. that's four and more
giving
teams
up, and giving up 12 points a game, man.
That's four more teams right. in Ohio State. I asked the question on Twitter the other day: what good offensive team Ohio State really played? And everybody was like, "Well, they played Indiana. Well, they just lost to Indiana.
And they lost."
I'm like, "Who else did they play? Like, who else did they play that was good offensively? They played a horrible Penn State team. They played a barely move the ball down the field Michigan team. They played.
They didn't play Oregon.
They kept screaming Washington. I'm like, who? Washington? Washington's trash. I'm like,
Illinois was scoring at least when they played them, but they spanked them pretty good.
Yeah, I'm like, y'all didn't play anybody to say, well, yeah, we did play some great offensive teams. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. So
right. So you're not comparing apples to apples in a lot of ways. I don't think their schedule was very challenging just looking at it, you know. And again, it's not you can't take away from the actual talent pool. And I'm gonna get into that in just a little bit of just kind of looking at this game from a talent perspective and some of their key players over there offensively and defensively, because they do have guys. I don't think they got no five first rounders. Unless you counting like Jeremiah.
I was about to say they might have him, but not for this class.
Yeah, not this class. Yeah. I mean, in that case, I mean, we looking at okay, so that's the other thing. Again, underrated. I think we got Mezador, Bane, and CeCe. That's three. And in a wild world, I don't think he's leaving, but I don't think it would be impossible to put Markell Bell at the bottom of the first.
And because of the position he plays, he's played nickel. Keontae Scott might be top five best players in a fucking game.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, his spot going to drop him somewhat because of value, but he's definitely one of the better players out there. So I think it's also a lack of, and that's when I could tell, like, say, these people don't really know ball like that, because if you paid any attention to Miami, you would understand, again, these are national talking heads that are telling you this team is built very different. This team, and us ad fans can look at this team and like, no, this team is physically very different than what we've seen in recent years, especially on defense. Our defense is fast and physical. Like, it's not a game. You got Keontae Scott flying around out there. You know, you got the ends, obviously, wreaking havoc. You got real push up the middle. That's not even getting to our run stopping ability. But Texas A&M got off 38 yards, I think. Something of that nature.
Yeah, man. Most of the yards, positive run plays, came from the quarterback.
From the quarterback. Right. They couldn't just run it. So I think. Yeah, that's why I think the line, it was a little, I was like, okay. I can see maybe 6.5, but 10, I think, yeah, two score. And maybe they think they pull away late, but I just think that this Miami team is far more talented than it's getting credit for, from at least that fan base. I think a lot of the national media people are saying, nah, this is actually a really good team. I just think, as I've seen a lot of, you know, because they got a huge fan base. Everybody in Ohio, they everybody there loves them. And they have a huge fan base. I got to give it to them.
Yeah, I got an NFL scout homeboy who told me, he said he think the reason why a lot of this is going down is because of the style we play defense. Like, we play man-to-man. He said he's just going to keep it a buck. He don't think we have anybody on our roster that could keep up with J.J. or Tate. And he say if that's the way we're going to play them, then Ohio State might be a lot successful, because he don't think, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, well, you know, their quarterback going to have time to throw that ball.
Got to have time, exactly. Yep.
He's like, well, yeah. He say he think Ohio State offensive line is good enough to hold up, even though he do think our D-line is probably the best in college football. But he just say at that point, when you look at it from the NFL standpoint, he like, well, he just suspect that their playmakers will make more plays than ours. So I'm like, well, I guess I could see it that way, but I just
it think can go that way, for sure. We can all sit here and tell you right now, right? Like, ain't not one of us going to tell you we're going to win this game without pressure and saying it. Like, yeah. there's none of us that think that's going to happen. I just don't think there's a world where that doesn't happen. You saw he got pressured against Indiana. And they said the same thing against Texas A&M. And you know, even the offense, I give their offensive line credit. They ain't out there talking wild. They saw what happened to the last team. They're like, nah, you better shut your damn mouth and just go out there and play like, you know, a good offensive line, because they offensive lineman, yeah, he PFF graded this, that, and the other. And, you know, all these guys supposed to be so great. Some big boys. I even remember Chase Basante. I remember recruiting that kid out of Jersey. I was like, damn, that's a big, big, mean, nasty motherfucker out there, man. But we handled our business there. So, you know, the narratives could be whatever they want them to be. But I think the truth is, and I think that was our frustration with the losses, is that we know this team is talented enough to be undefeated, quite honestly. Like, this is a team that shouldn't have dropped any games. They shouldn't have dropped a single game this year. And that's being unbiased and just telling you the truth. Louisville shouldn't have happened. SMU shouldn't have happened. And we can easily point to why. But I think the good part of it happening was it galvanized the team in a different way. And now I think the focus is up, you know, a few more notches. But let's just kind of look at it. We'll kind of run through some of the key players over there for Ohio State. And then, you know, both offensively and defensively, kind of look at where we think we match up. And we'll get to some score predictions and whatnot and get up out of here. So, I mean, we'll start with the elephant in the room. Obviously, we got our fours. They got their four. Jeremiah Smith, the heartbreak kid. You know, you got a lot of Miami fans still, you know, it's a little bitter, a little hurt, you know, about JJ making the decision he did. I'm not bitter. It still hurt a little bit, though. I will say that I am a little bit like, damn, bro. You know, and I'm sure y'all saw the interview going around where he basically said, you know, if Miami was more like this at the time of him making his decision, then it was his chances of committing to Miami. He said, I probably would have went there. So, you know, I know that sting even more. Miami fans, do not get hyped behind that, though. Next year, he will still be a Buckeye. He's not going to transfer. Don't sell yourself that dream. But we all know who that is, man. A machine, a monster, you know. D-Rod, where you'll put him right now, like out of some of the best all-time college wide receivers ever, where would you kind of put him? Where you would rank him at?
Well, JJ?
Yeah. When you have to match him up against like Julio, AJ, you know, even like a Crabtree.
Man, I don't put him up there right now because he just finished his second year. I would say after his third year, we'll see where he is. Cause he kind of tallied off this year. I guess they say that he's been kind of playing kind of hurt. That could be a reason. Mm-hmm. I guess he at some point he was supposed to miss, like, I think they said like 2 to 3 weeks with a strain or something like that, but he played through it, which is cool. So I say I give him one more year after his third year, then I'll assess like, okay. But no, I don't put him up there with Julio, AJ Green. I don't do that. His stats don't reflect that. No,
I think that's fair. I agree. I think physically he's there, right? Like, you just look at him on paper, he looked like a superhero, right? He built, you know, big broad shoulders, you know, shaped like a V. You know, kid, he's fast. I think he has all of the potential of all of those guys, and he may end up with all the numbers as well. And then, and again, it's not like his numbers are lacking or lackluster in any way. But, you know, I think maybe a little more time. But, yeah, obviously he's going to be an advantage in man-to-man situations every time. So we have to mitigate some of what he can do. But,
and Ohio State got so many other, like, wide receivers like Carnell Tate, you got to pay attention to.
That's what I was about to pivot to, exactly.
Yeah.
Opposite of that, you got Carnell Tate, a guy that, you know, even, you know, people was talking about maybe trying to get him to come in the portal and get him to come to Miami. Another talented wide receiver, another NFL wide receiver. They've been churning them out over there. You know, that's part of their whole, you know, the allure, right, was to catching JJ over there as well. Is, you know, hey, we keep putting these guys in the league. Y'all know how I feel about all that. I ain't gonna go down that road, but you know, that's part of their lore. They're playing winning football. So obviously you gotta worry about both of those guys on the outside. Then Is Ennis play the slot for them primarily?
Yeah, Ennis play the slot for them, but man, he's not. I don't think he's gonna be a factor. Well, no, yeah, actually, I'm not gonna say that because, like I said, Ryan Day's taking over the play calling for whatever that means. I guess everybody's like, he's taking over. Ooh, like it's gonna, you know, something crazy. But I think they might try to get him more involved because they know that we're gonna be focusing on trying to stop JJ and Carnell Tate.
Right. And you know, we'll be missing DeMar Brown for the game.
So. Y'all think that's gonna affect? Because I know everybody wanted Damari to line up on Jeremiah Smith. I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to ask y'all that. Y'all think that's going to be a factor in the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I think part of that chatter or whatever is, I guess, supposedly he's supposed to be like a JJ stopper. You know, but right, exactly. I heard of Kobe stoppers too, and Jordan stopped. Nobody ever stopped those guys. There were guys that were testing that was problematic, I would say, you know.
Because Frederick been giving up shit this year, too. Because I was thinking about the Louisville game. And I'm like, well, who guards JJ? And I was thinking maybe Xavier Lucas. But I know he's a little light.
When I say light,
I thought he don't seem – he's not, like, as big as
– Damari.
Damari. And I even feel like the boy from – Ethan from
Washington State. Ethan O'Connor?
Yeah, I feel like he's a little heavier than
him. I think Luke is bigger than him. I think Xavier Luke is probably the second biggest behind Damari Brown. Okay. Just off of kind of eyeball test. I don't know the actual numbers. I have to look at it, but I think he probably would be one of the better matchups for him. But I'm sure we'll try. They'll move him around, so he's going to play. He's going to face a lot of our corners. I think the biggest problem with Damari being out, not necessarily that he'll be able to, you know, give JJ that much more problems. It's just a man down, the body down, and we rotate a lot at corner. Like, our corners damn near all play, like, half the snaps, like 40-something apiece. So, you know, you like that because that keeps them fresh and, you know, rejuvenated. So, I think the bigger problem is be not necessarily who he is, but you'd be losing the experience of a guy that's been playing a lot of snaps this year. And who is good.
So with that being said, right, now that we're probably going to be at a three-man rotation, because I don't know who the fourth guy would be, and I don't know if they want to take that risk going up against this wide receiver core.
Right.
I can see Lucas probably being matched up with JJ, and then O'Connor being matched up against Carnell Tate, because Tate is more of a stretch the field kind of or whatever, and O'Connor actually has been pretty good when it comes to that. I think just that one, he had that one catch on him. I don't know, that wasn't Texas A&M game.
O'Connor's been real good this year.
He's been really good. Yeah, he's been real good. And I think with Lucas, he's just as fast, but I think that he'll be able to handle JJ Moore, because like it's of his size, he's like 6'1", 6'2". He may be like 190-ish, you know what I'm saying? Maybe close to 200. He's not Damari. Now Damari's like 6'6", 210, 215, something like that. But I think that's probably,
see, like all our corners are like 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah. Pretty much. I think O'Connor might be he might be like 190-ish.
A little lighter. Yeah, he definitely looks
lighter. I can see them, and then like I said with Frederick, man, I need him to trust his technique and not try to play the hero, like try to do the hero ball thing.
I feel you, because I was gonna bring it up too. I think it's not so much hero ball with him. I think it's over aggressiveness at the point of attack, and that's a big part of his game. But I'm telling you right now, when he got lined up, especially with Jeremiah, That's a strong dude. That's not exactly how you're going to want to. I don't know if you wait up quite ready for that, Frederick. Like, I think it would be better to try to play his hip pocket best and not try to get super aggressive at the point of attack and then get burnt for those bombs. That's how we typically take the big shots, is some over-aggressiveness from him. So, clearly, and it's something they've been doing for a while. So we know the wide receivers will bring a big threat. But I think we got the guys that'll match up pretty well there. And then you look at their quarterback, Julian Sand, transferred in from Alabama. You know, he came in, took the bull by the horns, did the job. He's completing at an amazing rate this year. I think it's like north of 75% or right up in that 75% mark. So, you know, he's a guy that gets the ball to his playmakers. He's not sloppy with the football. And I think, you know, he gives them an amazing chance because he just does complete well. I don't know, you know, his future prospects, how great he'll be, you know, later on down the line. But as far as the collegiate quarterback, he does everything they need him to do. And it's, you know, they got the weapons for it. So, you know, he's a guy that's going to be effective if we can't keep the heat on him. So, good quarterback for sure. You know, you got to give our quarterback the experience nod, obviously. Played in a lot of big games, bigger games than Sands, you know, lined up for. But Sands ain't no slouch. And we'll see, you know, how he performs. I definitely think we'll get some heat on him. And, you know, you got the running back, Bo Jackson. They do a bit of a committee over there. You know, Bo, the young guy, is kind of, I think, probably with the most upside. But he's definitely a playmaker there. You know, and I think the job will be to continue to what we have been doing in the run game and just snuff it out. I think, you know, Texas A&M leaned very heavily on their run game to open up their passing game, and they just weren't able to do it. You know, they don't have, you know, Ryan Day's calling the game now. I don't know, you know, kind of like you said earlier, D-Rod, I don't know how much, what that really, really means, you know, for him to be calling the games again. But we'll see. We'll see exactly how he's able to adjust, especially if we're able to do the things like we have been doing in the run game. But Bo Jackson's a dynamic run back. They've always done pretty well at that position too. So it's kind of no surprise there. Now they got a tight end, Max Clair. I think he's like in line to set like a record for them for tight ends. So he's been a weapon they've been using probably more so. Kind of, we were talking earlier about Ennis. I think Claire is kind of more, he's more in that third option role more so than I think, you know, really the slot position as much. He's a guy that he's not like in a royal quite. He's not have that kind of physical ability, I don't believe, but he's a good weapon in the offense. He's a guy they'll definitely be going to. And then they got like, you know, it's funny, they mirror some things we do, and something we don't really have as much this year as we had in the past. They got a real good blocking tight end, and Will, I think it's Cass Merrick, something like that, Case Merrick, kind of like when we had Old Man Rib out there. And, you know, it's funny, we teased him, but I definitely feel like we missed some of that presence of him this year without having that true kind of big blocking tight end out there. We don't really have that this season. I think you see a little bit of difference in the running game. Then offensive line, you know, that's just what they do. They put plenty of guys in the league from Ohio State. Ohio State traditionally has a good offensive line. So they will present a big front that will be some challenge to this team, to these defensive ends. I don't think you can just stop our D-line, though. I ain't seen it yet, you know. And especially with Sam being more of a kind of traditional drop back quarterback, you know, Reed, we had to worry about him getting loose, and he did. I don't think you have quite those issues to look at with Sam. So, you know, that's one reason he got in trouble in that Indiana game. Not that he still did well as far as taking care of the football, but they were able to rattle him up enough to where they just couldn't get that offense moving the way they, you know, typically do.
Yeah.
Hell, even in that game, I think Jeremiah had like 8 catches for like a 140 or something like that.
Yeah. And I think they're going to have to, I think what Heatherman is going to do, because their running game has been kind of inconsistent this year. Cause I was looking up the stats from last year and this year with Ohio State. And it's like, they haven't really been bragging on their running game. You know what I'm saying? Like in years past, because last year they had 2,000-yard rushes. You know what I'm saying? With Henderson and Judkins, they had 2,000-yard rushes. So last year they had 523 rushes for 2,662 yards and 34 touchdowns, right? Mm-hmm. This year, it's a big drop off, right? They have 1,000-yard rusher, barely. Then they have three 300-yard rushers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so they have – they had 430 carries, which is like 100 carries less, for 2,100 yards, which is almost 600 yards less, and 10 less touchdowns at 24. And yeah, all their touchdowns came from C.J. Donaldson on the goal line because he had 10 of them, and he only averaged 3.7 yards a carry. So, like, he's their goal line guy. That's who they give it to when it's on the goal line or the fourth and one or third and two guy. That's him. That's what he does. So I was just looking at all the stats and stuff like that, and, yeah, it's we good.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to contain that. Now, if you look flip side, again, this is probably, and this is their biggest bragging point for Ohio State this year, even though you could talk about the offense and, you know, obviously the wide receiver weapons. When you look at them defensively, this is where, you know, I think the bread and butter is. Basically the D-line just in general, Caden McDonald, you know, it's a guy that could be a first-day guy, a big body dude, like he coming in about 325. Explosive. I worry about him a little bit in the middle. You know, Brockenmeyer going to have a game, you know, he's going to have a game on his hands, so he's going to have to come prepared. And we're going to have to prepare to, you know, double him and make sure that we still, you know, keep the proper protections for Beck to keep him upright. Caden McDonald is going to be – he'll definitely be problematic up the middle. Then you got the other one, Tywon Malone Jr., another good D tackle guy. Again, it'd probably be, you know, it'd probably be an NFL guy as well. Not as high as a Caden McDonald, but a guy that presents the physicality, the physical prototype to be that type of dude. And then the ends, Kenyatta Jackson Jr. and Caden Curry.
Kenyatta Jackson from Chaminade, right?
I believe so.
He's from the crib. He's from the crib. Yeah. Me and his old baby playing spades, and he's a cheater. He's a cheater, man.
But you know, it's funny, those guys, Ohio State, you know, they typically got like the sack guys, the Bosa brothers, and then after that you had what's the bro name with the dreads?
Chase.
You talk about what's his name? I forget his name, but yeah.
Chase Young.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Caden Curry is leading with the sacks right now. Is it Caden?
Well, yeah, he got 11. I think he got 11. Curry.
Yeah. Okay. He's I think I read something where he's their first double digit sack guy since Chase Young. Matter of fact. So, something I didn't even really quite realize. You know, I unlike them, I don't sit here and act like I watch a bunch of Ohio State football. I don't, because the schedule is typically boring as hell to me. I watch the Texas game. The rest of the team, I don't really want to watch, except Michigan.
Yeah, I only watch them because they got the homies on the team. So, you know, I always support the homies, man. But, again, like I say, when I watch them, man, I don't see anything that just say they are that much better team than us. I think – what they do a lot better than us offensively is they give their playmakers the opportunity one-on-ones. You know what I'm saying? They have a lot of good one-on-one matches where they give JJ opportunity. They give Tate opportunity. They got a good, nice little running back. Got to throw Brandon Ennis in there. You know, he do his thing when they give him the opportunity. So that's the one thing I say they do that's probably better than us offensively. Other than that, I'm looking defensively. I'm like, well, I don't see their defense being better than our defense.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll probably give them the edge.
They got better linebackers.
I was about to say a linebacker. I'll give them edge at linebacker. Their linebacker, Sonny Styles, Arvell Reese. But as a collective, I agree. I think as a group, I don't think they're better. They may have individual talent pieces at linebacker, and obviously I'm getting ready to get into, you know, the secondary as well. But, yeah, Arvell Reese, you know, probably first-round guy, guy fly around. So they linebackers, and they run basically like us too. So it's like 4-2-5. These guys, you know, which it's pretty much base defense for all of the smart teams. With the talent, Florida State, 3-3-5. Yeah, boys, y'all boys out here fooling. Yeah, so I agree with you, Measy. I think linebacker, you have to give them the edge. Some real fast guys, athletic guys that just move around fast. I mean, they'll be an issue. They'll be an issue. You know, 87, you know, maybe show up in a different way than you have. Try to make a play or two, but it's gonna be tough sledding for that one. And then again, the spot that they tend to do really well in is secondary. Obviously, got Caleb Downs, who is, you know, more than likely top five, top 10 pick. He's just a different kind of beast himself, man. You know, kid, you know, he was so good. And he left Bama to go to Ohio State. Yeah, you don't really see that, yeah.
Yeah, that was the first crazy, crazy Porter move I seen. I was like, what the
fuck? Right. That's how you know they cut the check. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's a major check right there. So, yeah, Caleb Downs, you know, kind of do it all safety. Then the other safety, Jalen McClain, again, really talented guy back there. And then you got the nickel is Lorenzo Styles Jr., talented dude there. Outside, they got Davison. They always keep one of these Nigerian niggas, too, boy. I swear these names be kicking my ass. Igbenosun.
Igbenosun. Yeah, he's a pretty good nickel.
Yeah, and then Jermaine Matthews Jr. So
off topic, man. Jerry Jones, if you don't drive Caleb, man, if you don't drive that guy, man, listen,
you might as well quit fanhood. Where y'all gonna pick?
We got two first round picks, man. We need defense. Everything gotta be catered to defense.
Yeah. I don't know if he gonna be gone and let y'all trade up. I think he'll be gone by the time y'all pick.
I think we got the 12th pick or something like that. So
I mean, that's around time.
Yeah, that's him. I don't think he lasts past 15. Yeah. So if we got the 12th pick, then y'all better get him.
Yeah. I think he go a little high in there. We'll see. But yeah, they secondary for sure are gonna present challenge for our receivers. So it's gonna be up to those guys to, you know. First off, I think we missed some opportunities. I talked about it, you know, when we were during the live game for Texas A&M. I think we didn't try to work our outside receivers quite enough. And when we did, you know, we were able to move some things. But I do, you know, the thing I didn't factor in that game was the win factor and how much, you know, that kind of limited the passing game. So I think we got to give, you know, a CJ Daniels these one-on-one opportunities and just, you know, give him an opportunity to just pluck the ball. You're going to have to in order to keep him honest and to keep this offense wide open. And you know, because, again, we know they're going to center in on Tony. And we're going to figure out ways to use him, you know, punt return, wildcat, running back. He's going to touch the ball, obviously. But they're going to do a job that, like, you know, you called it last time, D-Rob, just bragging him, trying to neutralize him as much as possible. So, if you neutralize him, the outside opportunity is going to be there. So, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, we in the dome, so the wind won't be a factor. He can hit. Listen, I as much as everybody say, listen, JoJo was wide open on that play, man. If he hits JoJo, that's a touchdown. But yeah, he just got, you know, I think the factor for us this game, man, just go out and play the game you've been playing all your life. You know what I'm saying? Stop, you know, all the analysis. I mean, you know, the computer people saying, well, listen, do this. Man, go play the game you loved all your life that you played when you was a little kid, high school, and then you get to college. Just play that game, man. You'll be effective. Stop thinking about what everybody else thinking about. You know what I'm saying? Just go do what you do. You know, if you do what you do, guess what? You'll be successful offensively and defensively, man. So, oh, man. You know, it's a shame. You know, Damari Brown most likely isn't going to play. This is the type of game he would love to play in. Trust me. He would love to play in this game because he's going against some top receivers and he gets to show his skill set. But the thing I'm most excited about, man, is my guy number four, man. I think he finna terrorize that offensive line.
Well, let's get into that real quick. Because it's caused a little stir, a little upset, and we get ready to wrap. But our offensive line versus their defensive line, and our defensive line versus their offensive line.
All the important people who make sense giving Miami the edge, both
in the trenches and the trenches, right? And that team upset a lot of people, right? But we'll keep it 1,000 here if we're talking DBs and versus wide receivers. I'm gonna give them the edge.
They got the edge. They got.
I'm gonna give them the edge both ways. I think their DBs. You know, I like our wide receivers, but. You know, you're talking about some really good guys, some experienced guys. I'm gonna give them that slight edge there over them. Not that we don't have the talent there, and vice versa. Obviously, with the wide receivers, I mean, come on, we talking about two potential first round guys in Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith.
Well, so, not two potential; they are.
yeah, pretty much two first rounds.
If Jeremiah Smith come out the draft, if he go in the draft this year, he's number one pick. Carnell Tate probably
just can't. Right, just can't. So. You know, that's why I thought it was funny. I was like, y'all getting such an uproar about it as if they were saying, you know, they want this underdog role so bad. It's really hilarious.
Yeah, they want the – and I'm like, I think that's you. I think that's you that tweeted it. Like, y'all just won a national championship. How are y'all – why y'all so upset or something? Like, yeah. Like,
no, y'all just, all,
y'all
yeah.
Why yeah. are y'all upset? Y'all supposed to be pissed that – I mean, I don't know, y'all. Like, if you're the national championship, you know your emotions and your feelings should be, we the champs, so y'all knock us off, right? That's how I always felt like it's supposed to be. But they taking it as, oh, they already lost, and now they the underdog. Oh, okay, y'all saying y'all D line this? Okay, no problem. We got something for that. Y'all saying y'all O line this? Okay. y'all ain't got nobody to cover JJ. And then I think somebody the other day was asking me, and I didn't get into it. I was like, I'm not going to do that. They were like, man, if you got to pick between JJ and Malachi, I said, listen, you're not going to get me to say nothing. But neither one of them are little homies. You know what I'm saying? And I know the answer, but no, I'm not doing it. Not everybody's like, oh, well, JJ is way better than Malachi. I'm like, okay, cool. Like,
JJ is not, though, really. They're very different.
Y'all are in an uproar. Like, anybody calling y'all sorry? We just saying we ain't sorry.
Right. And you're not comparing apples to apples.
They trying to build fake narratives, man. They've been building fake narratives for the last week.
And JJ was the number one player in the nation.
Yeah.
So it should be shit.
Right. Exactly, because of the physical tools he possesses.
And they're not the same type of wide receiver.
Yeah. Two totally different.
At all. JJ is the number one guy. You know what I'm saying? I know we could call Tony our number one guy, but Tony's in the slot. You know what I'm saying? And he's moving all around. And it's just dumb,
different players. It's different.
Like
players.
You said, Le'Veon, all wide receiver DBs, Ohio State. Linebackers, Ohio State. When it comes to the trenches, Miami. Quarterback, I'm going to go Miami because we have more of a veteran. Running backs, I will assume to pick Miami because we have more. I think they use their two backs good with Bo Jackson and what's his name?
I'm gonna go Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I'm gonna go Miami. Yeah. And I just give them the coaching standpoint. You know, their coaches. They won the big game last year. Ryan Day. Has shown he can finally win the big game. Then now you see he wants to come. Now he wants to call plays. They got Pat Patricia, whatever his name. So yeah, I give them the coaches. I give them the coaches as of now. But you remember at the beginning, y'all were like, man, everybody was talking about Heidemann. I was like, well, you know, I got to see Heidemann in the game. Once I got to see Heidemann in the game with my own eyes. I don't know if it's a better defensive coordinator out there than Heidemann. I'm just keeping the buck. It's not being biased because he's on my Hurricanes team.
But when you flip a whole defense like he did, our defense was like historically Miami ways bad. And when you flip a team, when you flip a defense like he did to be top 10, bro, that's you. I mean, it's yeah, the Chargers, I mean, too, but that's a lot of that. Most of that is you, bro.
He's a Broyles Award semifinalist.
And he don't blink. So, I mean, he don't blink out there neither.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, so they didn't give out that award? Yeah, I thought they did.
No, so no, they still doing the voting for it. They're not gonna announce that award till like I think it's like January 23rd or the 29th. It's like
some coach got an award. I was like, oh, I don't.
Nonetheless, even if he wasn't to win it, it just goes to show you that he's making his mark just that fast. So
yeah.
Let's do some predictions to get up out of here. Oh, breaking news. What's bro name? DJ Jacobs. He picked the Miami Hurricanes. By the time y'all hear this, that'd be true.
Oh, I thought that was yeah.
It's at 8:30 tonight. It's 8:30.
Hey, I tell you what, boy, if it don't happen, boy, go ahead and edit. Go ahead.
It's wrong. It's gonna be out. I ain't editing shit.
Hey, listen. And I hope that don't edit this right here. Listen, it is gonna get funky. It's gonna get scary with recruiting. Listen, this is what I think most fans expected of Mario. Mario's been doing an excellent job recruiting already, but I think what's going to happen with this 27 class is exactly what fans expected Mario to come and be a top recruiter, bringing in the top class. Just speaking with recruits and scouts and stuff like that, man, listen, Miami is about to have four. It's finna get there, man. We might, I forget what school. I think that was Alabama or Georgia. I forget what school that one year they had the number one player in each position. I don't know if it was Alabama or Georgia. It was one of them. I'm telling you. Well, outside of quarterback, I think, we can possibly land either from the number one to top five player at each position. Outside of quarterback. Quarterback, I think they just going to go after, Dawson. Dawson has a way of identifying guys he like. But, me and you stuck on this, Larry, man. The hell with quarterbacks, man. We go get us one at the port.
I don't give a fuck about that high school recruit and quarterback. All of them niggas transfer anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, but real quick, before we do predictions, I want to ask y'all, because I was having this conversation with my dad last week. What we pay Carson Beck, what he's saying, like $4 million.
Something like that.
To me, since we in the playoffs, we won a game. I don't care about his stats the first game. We won.
Mm-hmm.
Was that $4 million worth it? Him and I answer was yes.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have Carson Beck, we're not team to do.
I mean, we definitely couldn't do it with him, right? So he got to be worth every penny.
Yeah, because just look at the games he played good in. Like, look at Notre Dame game. You know what I'm saying? That first game of the season. Just think about what other quarterback we could have gotten for that game and would have won us that game. I don't know of one. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the only other quarterback, like I said, I wanted was the one who went to Duke, but he ended up going to Duke. But look at that game. Look at the Florida State game. Look at the Florida game. And then look at the last, what if the last four or last five games of the season?
Yeah, last he was four. On a heater.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm like,
I just don't think we win those games if we roll out what we already had. That's the proof of it. So, yeah.
And
because it wasn't my money.
I was even thinking, too, even when he told Dawson Saturday, hey, let's like start running up the middle type stuff. I'm like, that's experience right there.
Right. No ego about it.
Yeah, we definitely got our money's worth. So you got to think about it. Just for making the playoff, we get $4 million. And then we made it to the quarterfinals. That's another $4 million. So that $4 million that we paid Carson Beck, we got that back.
Don't forget, it's another 1.8 or something.
Then it's $3 million for expenses, like a stipend. Like,
hey, Larry, I was hearing. I thought, did you say that's ACC money too?
No, it's not. No. They give it to the conference. They give it to the conference, and the conference gives it to us. It's not a direct. It's not a direct payment.
I thought we was spraying that shit out.
Thank you, Florida State, for going to court.
You can just get my money. You don't got to get nobody else to get my money. Just get my damn money. Anyway, all right, let's get some predictions, man. Get up out of here. We'll start. Hell, me, you go ahead and kick it off.
2017 Miami.
20-17, a nail bite. Hope not. All right, D-Rob, what you got?
I got 27-21 Miami.
All right. X?
I got us 31-21 Miami.
All right. I like that a little better. Yeah, a little more of Miami. Maul, what you got?
I had 31-20, late touchdown.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go. What did I have in my original score? Y'all scrambled up my brain. Now, I have it 27-20 Miami. Yeah, that is the score I had before we started. 27-20 Miami. Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, a good battle. I think we'll be able to get the quarterback dirty. I think we'll be able to hopefully force a turnover. And it could be all the difference in the game. Yeah. Go Kane, man.
I'm damn near confident, bro. Like,
I am.
Yeah, bro. We're going to beat these boys, bro.
Hey, we're underdogs anyways. So if we don't, we don't. But so I really don't believe we're going to lose. And that's the testament to what they've done. Because, you know, a few years ago, we went to play Alabama and Atlanta. Like, well, we're going to lose.
Yeah, I knew we was going to lose that shit.
I was hoping, but this is a loss, man. Now yeah, I can confidently say I expect
to win. I see the boys on that field. I was like,
this
is going to be a blowout.
Since you brought that up, I tell you a story like once a year, bro, when it come up. Streeter, shout out to Caneville, man. Streeter was on the field. He was like, man, he knew he was going to lose when Gervin Hall went to go dunk. He got hung on the
goal
post. She was like, man, we
about
to lose.
Yeah.
Man, listen, when I was on the sideline, I was looking at their running backs. You know, I'm watching their running backs, and I'm looking at our D-line. I'm like, man, their running backs are bigger than the D-line. I'm like, this is a blowout.
Time they have a chain, man.
We ain't got no team like that. Well, we look the part and we are the part. So
yes, let's get it, man. Go Canes. We'll be back.
Canes,
peace. All right, peace.
Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.